Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He's doing things to our favor in every category of life. And he always has been. And the Lord is not going to stop just because there's a devil out there trying to stop us. He cares about us in every way. And he's not limited at all if we give him place in our lives. Now, as we go forward doing the things of God, we learn things we can't learn any other way. And the Lord is not trying to attack us. He loves us. But he has standards. And he's coming back. The Lord is getting rid of evil altogether and systematically. Daniel, in Daniel's chapter 10, he said that there will be an end of sin. The time is coming, folks, that there will be no more sin, period. Jesus defeated it. But to help us and show people that there's no sin, He made a change within us that believe. But it's up to us to walk it out, to live according to God's word. Sin interrupts your life in every way there is. Sin is an enemy against you. It's an enemy against God's creation. And it's an enemy against God himself. The things that promotes sin is an enemy. The world system is, its foundation is according to the ways of sin. And there was a time that there was no sin. The problem that people have is that they were born in sin. And from our point of view, sin can be all right, even though it's costing us everything. But see, sin gradually works against us, and you can't tell what it's doing to you. It's just like a cancer eating away at your body. Sometimes people have cancer months, weeks, months, or even years before they know it. And they calculate it in stages, see. When people have stage 4 and stage 5, then their life is cut off. It's cut short. Unless a miracle happens, or unless surgery happens to cut the cancer out. Think about it this way for a moment. Considering the laws of sowing and reaping, whatever you sow, that will you also reap. Most people are not farmers nowadays, so they don't understand that reference. But let's say you have a garden, you plant tomatoes, you're gonna get tomatoes next year or next season. After the plant matures, it's going to produce good tasted tomatoes. In a few weeks, you're going to have them, and you're going to be able to eat them on your sandwiches. Or at the end of the summer, you're going to have watermelons. Or if you plant them in time, in the middle of the summer, you're going to have big, ripe watermelons in that season. And it takes so many months for it to grow. Same thing with life. The way you treat people. You're putting something out there. You're doing good to everybody you know because you love God. And you've been blood washed. You've been washed in Jesus' blood. In other words, you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now your sins are gone. He gave you the ability to live without sin interrupting your life. So you start living according to the Word of God. And everywhere you go, you share the love of God. Even when you can't explain it to people. Your genuine kindness towards people, your love for people, it sets something up for you to, you're going to harvest something good because you've been doing people right. But we don't do people right so we'll have a good life. We do people right because it's the right thing to do. And because we're actually doing it, you're going to be rewarded for it anyway. And then, now imagine a person that go around doing people wrong, stealing, lying. Eventually people are going to figure that out and that they can't trust you. You gave them too many reasons not to trust you. And you're going to hurt your friends. You're going to hurt your family. You're going to hurt people. And eventually, you ruin all the relationships that you had. And if you've been doing that and you get saved, now you're going to have to, people are going to watch how you live, whether you really mean what you say, whether you really love God or not. And when there's a pure change in your life, then people will, they'll know that, and they'll know that they can trust you again. So the focus is not on what you do wrong. The focus should be on Christ. And through him, you'll solve the problems, all the negative influences that have been robbing you all along. A healing process from the life of God is now working in you. See, when you receive his love and you receive salvation, you receive his love towards you. And then the first thing you want to do is share that love with others. That's why people are so eager to tell people about Jesus. Something happened in their life. They feel the peace of God. They feel the presence of God. They see things that you may not see. And when they study the word, they get more of it. See, God saved us to walk the narrow road. The love of God walks that narrow road. The love of God wants to mature in his love, and it wants to be stable. And see, the things of sin, they come to rob you, take away from your life. Sin does the same thing Satan does, just like love does the same thing God does. So when people are sinning, you know, they do exactly what Satan did when he used to be an angel. He was made well. He was a wonderful angel when God first made him, called Lucifer. And he had a grand purpose. But see, he betrayed him. He betrayed God, and he betrayed his purpose when he began to sin. See, he saw the grandeur of heaven and how wonderful it was, and there was no sin. And he wanted worship, the same worship that goes to God. He wanted that on himself. And he usurped authority over others, or he attempted to. But it was wickedness, and it causes a cancer in society. He puts himself above others. And when people do that, they interrupt the fabric of life. See, life is, you know, you grow and you master life by love. By the love you receive from God and share with others. Well, he wanted to take what belonged to other people. Why should God have to give us 10 commandments? We know that it is wrong if you see something that somebody else has to take it from them. They worked for it. They did what they were supposed to get it, and you're just going to take it from them? And, you know, that's wrong. That's the wrong motive. But when you set out to do good, say, hey, he did well. He was rewarded for his love, his life, his living. He went to work every day to take care of his family and build a house, and his family has nice things. I'm going to do this, you know, his what he did the right way suggests that I can do it too. And guess what? God will help me do it. I don't have to rob him to prosper. But sin will have you out there taking what others have. Doing things wrong to get ahead or to be better or seem better. And it doesn't care about what happens to the people you're robbing. It's just like when people sell people drugs. They don't care at all whether they live or die. They just want money for themselves. They don't care about the parents that won't be able to take care of their children. They just exploit people and exploit people and exploit people. They don't care what happens to them. They don't care about the desires of the parents. The parents took time to send their children through college. And they got jobs. They got married. They have families. And then you got people out there so low down, they want to sell them drugs just to take what they got. They don't care if they die from it. They don't care what happened to them. They don't care that they're going to be addicted. They just want a slave. They want a money slave. That's all they care about. So this is why God, Jesus, is coming back. He gave man a chance, a time to run the earth. He didn't give up on us. Man failed. He knew what we would end up doing as a society. But there are people he wanted to save all of us, not just some of us, but he died that we all might be saved. But he knew the wicked won't be saved. But he loved the wicked, and he did. He gives everybody rain. He gives everybody good fruit. He gives everybody a chance to make their own path. But the path you make, that was your choice. Now he has to do something with your choice. What did you choose to do with your life? Who did you set out to hurt people, or did you set out to love people and be kind towards people? Do you get back at people? Remember, God didn't get back at you when you did other people wrong. He tried to help you come out of the sin problem. But see, if you die and you keep rejecting the plan of salvation, the only plan of salvation that God has, if you keep rejecting it, what can he do for you when you die? You rejected it. You didn't want it. Or maybe you did and you received it. Now you're in the kingdom of God, and you're gonna love it. Nobody on this earth knows how wonderful it's gonna be. You're gonna get to see all the people that entered the kingdom of God. You're gonna have kin people there, sometimes ancestors there. There are gonna be people that love you, they have prayed for you, grandparents, mothers, fathers, and then sometimes parents. Your parents may have had a child that died at childbirth. They were stillborn. So you're going to have siblings you didn't even know about, because every precious soul, if they were an infant and they died, they're in heaven now. And most of the time, people don't talk about that. They'll be surprised when they get there. All children that was conceived and perished, they go to heaven. So you're going to have, heaven is beautiful. The things that the activity people do, it's going to be good. A friend of mine, his friend died, and they were young. And it really disturbed him. His friend died on a car wreck. His friend's brother died, little brother died on a car wreck. And the Lord gave him a dream of comfort. In the dream, he saw his friend's younger brother riding what looked like a skateboard, but it was flying. And they had activities going on, and it comforted him because that little boy went to heaven. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. They were on a trip, and they went in a van, and the van, they had a wreck, and the fiberglass top came off the van, and the father and the youngest son died. But my friend saw him in heaven riding what looked like a skateboard, but it was flying in the air. Now, God knows how to comfort people. And see, there are people out there that the Lord comforts and show them things, show them visions and dreams, what's going on in other places. And people in the world don't have a clue that this exists. But see, when you love God, and you love his word, you're going to learn things you can't learn any other way. But as long as you're attracted to the things of sin, it's going to hinder you from seeing who God is and knowing what's available by God. You're not going to know that he loves you. Because Satan will lie on God and say, he don't even like you. Look what you did. And now you're looking back at the sin that you've already done. And you know it's bad. And he'll tell you, you're worthless. And you're not. Nobody's worthless. Preachers would treat you like you're worthless. Christians sometimes would treat you like you're worthless. But God will never treat you like you're worthless. But if you don't receive salvation, then you can't enter the kingdom of God. But if you receive the only plan of salvation that God provided us with, that's Christ Jesus. He's the only one that became a man to die for you. Now, when I was growing up, my dad was a preacher. But, you know, You have friends and family that don't always follow God, follow God's plan. And they talk about other religions and try to persuade you to do this and that. Some tried to persuade me to be a Muslim. Some friends wanted me to come to their secret Mason meeting. No. Jesus is the one that died for us. One of my friends was a Jehovah's Witness. And see, but Jesus is the one that left heaven, became a man legally, and died so that I could live. That is love. I said, he loves everybody. You know, and I remember the black Muslims back then in the 70s, they said, well, white people are devils. Now that's a red flag all by itself. God made all men in his image. And every type of man has a problem with sin. And every race have sin and come short of the glory of God. And we all need redemption. So, but I had godly parents that taught me something. We all need godly parents to teach us something. Not just godly parents, but parents that teach you something and give you an example. And my mother said, God loves everybody, son. Don't ever hate people. She made sure that she taught me that. And it secured my life. It helped me to make the best choices. Every person God made has wonderful potential. Even the wicked people, if they knew better, if they could see the lies of Satan for what they are and come out of the wickedness and into the light of God's word, they won't be that way. They're not supposed to be that way. You take anybody out there, if they were trained right as a child, the word said, if you train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, he won't depart from it. But some people have wicked parents or foolish parents or no parents. And they were surrounded by wickedness. And when they took Johnny's truck, nobody popped his behind and told him he can't do it that way. And taught him how to share. And taught him how to love. They just kept taking what they want until they grow up and that's all they know. And anything if you're attracted to what Satan is attracted to, you got Satan's attention. And he's going to try to make it so that you'll never get saved. If you didn't have nobody to correct you and pop you on the behind and say, you don't do it that way. You got to do it this way. You know, I know a lot of people, they don't like for you to whip your children. That's because Satan is behind them. Satan don't want parents to correct their children. But if we didn't get a good beating sometime, we would have been stupid. And I got friends that parents would light them up. And now they're productive people in this society. Are they perfect? No. But they are productive people in society. And they thank God for the teachers that taught them. And the coaches that corrected them. And the adults that lit them up. And the parents that corrected them and taught them something. And when they needed it, they got lit up and then they drove this. See, like when you light a child up, it drives the sin out. They'll say, I ain't doing that again. I've heard them say, I've done it. Because I had godly parents that love God. He loves us. And he gave us parents to help us enjoy life. A lot of people can't learn what life is about because they're so focused on the sins of this world, the raggedy things of this world. Narrow is the way to life. Broad is the way to damnation and destruction. But the thing is, never focus on sin itself. Focus on the Lord. The enemy will show you disaster and try to get you to be afraid of it. But don't be afraid of the things that are wrong. Look at what the Lord is saying. Hear him out. When people listen to what the Lord has to say, when they hear His word, they have vision. They gain vision. If they receive it in a humble heart, and people that want to do what's right, the word of God will nourish their hearts. Not the blood pump. I'm talking about their spirit man. The Bible refers to the spirit man as the heart, because the heart, you can feel your heart in your chest. You can feel your emotions in your chest. Well, your spirit man is alive. He's more alive than your body. When you receive the word of God, it's like giving food to your spirit. Jesus once told his disciples, "Now you are clean because of my word." They've been hearing his word, and they've been seeing Jesus' example. They heard him talk, and they were strong. On the way back, after Jesus arose from the dead, he walked with them, and he disguised himself. They didn't realize it was him, and he explained the word to them, and then he disappeared out of their sight. And they said, didn't our hearts burn as he talked? And it reminded them of when they were with Christ. Now, the Lord loves us now. He loves you. He doesn't hate you. When he tries to give you the kingdom of God and salvation, he's trying to show you something more. But the reason people don't take it that way is because of the way they focus. Now, even some Christians focus differently than others. The wisest people focus on the word, and they receive it, and they receive it into their life, and they go through, they do the things that turn people into heroes. See, I watched people a long time. The kind of people that usually finish college, they had a good foundation. They had parents that loved them and showed them how to make the best choices. They had a life coach. They had a praying mother, a hard-working praying father. And they took time and found a good church. Not a shady church, but a good one where people love God. And they made friends with people doing the same thing. And see, when you take your family to church, you have to take your children. They don't always want to go. But the best churches, they have a good youth program that interests children. And they share the word. See, the word is sown in peace. If people are reluctant, they're not going to, it interferes with the way that they hear. If they're aggravated in life, it interferes with the way that they hear. But when there's peace, and the parents don't backbite and talk about the pastor and the other people in church, then the children won't hear negativity. And when people try to say things to help them in life, they receive it. Now, the adults that love you, you can tell. And when they give you good advice, you can tell that. And people that's been there before, they are instructing the younger generation from children up. I remember adults that loved us. I'll never forget Mr. Hughes. He gave me sugar cane. And he had a Union 76 gas station. He gave me a box of orange 76 antenna balls that you put on the antenna of your car. And I was able to share with my friends. And he had a farm, and he gave me a handful of sugar cane. And I got my dad's pocket knife, and I ate sugar cane from Utah, Alabama, all the way to Birmingham. I cut the hull off and I chew it and I throw it out, the rest of it out, what I chewed out the wonder. And Daddy was floating down the road in that Lincoln he had. And so, you know, that Lincoln, and that he had a Lincoln at one point and a Chrysler another time. And they used to float. He liked those big cars. I'll never forget those days and the people that loved it. I'll never forget Miss Larkin. She was our next door neighbor in Utah, Alabama. See, my parents used to spend the weekend up there, so they had a parsonage. It was a project house that they, apartment that the church would rent for the pastor. And we had somewhere to live when we were up there. And she was our next door neighbor. And she was the sweetest lady. You don't forget people like that. These are the kind of people that encourage you to be the best that you can be. You don't want to go and do something evil when people are pulling for you. And see, when people grow up in a church like that, and then they go to school and all the challenges that go with college, you got, you know, on the weekend you go to church. You know, you got a support system. When you feel like quitting, you got a support system. I got a cousin. He said, I'm glad my mother taught me into finishing college. He said, once I finished, I got a good job and I make those big checks. He said, I make big checks. It's just the way he said it. It was so funny. There are rewards to following the course of life. But don't treat life like a get-rich-quick scheme or a get-out-of-jail-free card. Don't do the wrong thing. Don't love what's wrong. If you love what's right, then you'll be able to do what's right. Not for the rewards, but because it's right. The rewards is a byproduct. See, when you have a good, healthy church, you're going to have healthy people. When you have healthy people, they guess what? They stay married. And they live better in their marriage longer. And I know church people get divorced, but see, there's a lot of wickedness that's gone about. And there are tares among the wheat. And sometime a good, wonderful child of God will marry a tare. Now, some people really are tares, but don't be so fast to call somebody a tare. Remember the parable. The tares are sown among the wheat to do damage against the plan and life of God. Satan don't want nobody happy, but don't be so fast to talk about people and say that they are tare. Remember, the angels asked a question in the parable. They asked the Lord, do you want us to separate the tares from the wheat? Because they know how to do it. He said, no, because you can't tell who the wheat are. Let them grow together. And in the harvest, I'll separate them. And which he did. So it's time now to realize Satan don't want you happy and he don't want nobody happy. So he accused people. He accused the husband against the wife. He'll accuse the wife to the husband. Then he'll turn around and point out her faults and how she don't do this and that. And then there's strife. And when there's strife, people can't communicate. And he'll turn around and show the wife that her husband don't do as good as somebody else's husband. Or he don't spend time with her. Or he don't love her. And the man worked two jobs trying to make ends meet. The enemy has a way of causing people to focus on the most negative aspects of a person's life. And sometimes people are too dumb to know what's going on. But when you look at the Word of God, the Word of God says, do unto others as you have them do unto you. And then you'll stop requiring them to be so perfect. And you'll see that the wrong influences, they are not the kind of thoughts that God would give. If you take time and listen to the type of thoughts that God gives, then you'll know when you're being lied to. So sometimes people who really love God are duped into believing the worst about the person that they married that really loves them. And they get to a point of strife and they can't say anything good about their spouse anymore. And everything's turned off and shut down. They don't want to help them. They're going through the motions of life and they're not thriving anymore. They're not communicating. They're not having a heart-to-heart conversation. And then you have the interruption of children, the interruption of family, the interruption of friends, the advice of friends, the advice of family. And it's all at the expense of the children and at the expense of the life that God is desperately trying to give you. But when you receive the life of God in your heart, that healing process will not only show you how to deal with the problems in this life, but it will expose to you how to live and conduct yourself in this life, how to pray for your loved ones, how to pray for your friends, how to shut down the bad information you get from your family and friends, and receive the good information you get from your family and friends, and especially your good, God-loving pastor. And so many churches are bogged down with the problems that tariffs create and lack of knowledge. See, your problems don't just originate from tariffs only. I asked the Lord, I went to a church that taught that, you know, from time to time they'll say God give you problems to make you grow. They try to make sense of the hardships. That's all they're doing. They didn't mean any harm, and I knew that. But I asked the Lord, I kept hearing messages on that wise, and I said, Lord, do you send people problems to help them, to make them grow? He said, problems come from Satan, lack of knowledge, and other people's lack of knowledge. See, the thing about this life, you have to receive the life of God, to live the life of God. After you receive the new birth, you have to receive the knowledge of God, to live the knowledge of God. You have to receive the wisdom of God, to live the wisdom of God. And then you're going to gain understanding. And when the Holy Spirit gives you counsel, you're more apt to see it through and not let it drop. The problem is not that God is not talking and giving people messages and giving people assignments and showing them what to do. They're letting it slip. And then they're back to square one, where they're trying to figure it out like the world does.